It's your first time to be with us. My name is Pastor Matt. Me and Pastor Lori are so thankful that you're here and welcome you. And want to say good morning to the online audience. It's great to have you with us every Sunday. And thank you for your giving. We have been in a new series called Be Thankful. And I hope you guys have been enjoying this as we've been going through it. But last week, I talked a little bit on be thankful for who God is. And we talked about how he is the promise maker and the promise keeper. Be thankful that God is the word and be thankful that God is so good. And I really do hope, because you are here today, you came out in this weather and you've decided to be here, that you're ready to receive from the Lord, you're ready to be transparent before him, that you're ready to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you today. And this is my heart, that as we continue to go through this series, that the Lord will reveal himself to you in a new and fresh way. And as we get closer to Thanksgiving, and as we're moving into celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we will be overflowing with thoughts and praises of Thanksgiving. So today, I'd like to talk to you about be thankful, it's not always easy. Be thankful, it's not always easy. I came home from Israel with this series that the Lord gave us that we're going through right now. And I remember I gave this this title of a message to Lori, and Lori goes, I don't like that. she didn't like be thankful, you know, that it's not always easy. But guys, check this out. How many of us understand that our lives, the day-to-day grind, jobs, relationships, mortgage payments, our bodies, raising kids, and marriage is not always the easiest. There's some that would say that you feel like you're suffering or that you suffer. And if you look up the word suffer in the dictionary, doesn't matter which one you're looking in, and if you Google it and it comes up, the universal definition for suffer is any unpleasant hardship that we experience. If you go deeper into the definition, it will actually say that you are subject to, that you are enduring. This is something that you're going to endure, that you're going to have to see it to the end. Back in May, our backyard deck had basically seen its last days. I went out there, and some of the trusses were like twisting from the heat, and you know, things were raising up, nails being pulled up, and I had walked out one day, and my foot went through our deck. And I was like, okay, that's it. So we called Andrew Marshall and got him and his team to come out to our house, and they began to build our deck. In fact, we were in Orlando, and by the time we came back, they had completed it. And I got home. I was so thrilled. It was beautiful. It was brand new. And I just thought, wow, that was so easy. And then the next day, I go to my post office, or to the mailbox, I'm sorry, and there's a letter from the city telling me that if I don't get a permit or something for it in the next few days, we're going to have to tear this thing down. And it was a nasty letter. And all of a sudden, you know, my heart rate's up. Now everything, you're realizing, man, this is not going to be that easy. I go to the city. They're mad at me. They're thinking I'm lying that we did this. There wasn't a deck back there before. I had to have them pull it up on Google Earth, showing in 2007, this is what it looked like. We just basically put brand new wood. But because we put brand new pergola, And changed that a little bit, we needed a permit. So we had to work to get the permit. I had to get plans made. It had to be, have a supervisor come out and make sure that it was done to code. It had to get the okay of the city. And so here it is, you know, they're like I said, they're mad at me, I'm mad at them. We're working through this thing, and I'm just sitting there going, this is ridiculous. But guys, check this out. I thought it was going to be such an easy process, but to see that they finally send me a letter saying, it's done, it's good, it's cleared, it's all yours, thank you for everything. And I'm like, really? You know, like, thank you for everything? Like, what in the world, man? It just cost me all this extra money. But guys, check this out. To be on the other side of it, to be on the other side of the hardship for that time that it took, you know, a couple months to get through that process, finally, I could go out, and all of a sudden now, I've got a new vision for my backyard. I see something fresh. I'm seeing it from a new perspective. I worked my way through something that wasn't that easy. To be able to have vision for what is next is what God wants to do with all of our lives. Can I get amen? And being real, to tell you to be thankful when things aren't easy, that's one thing. But the reality is, it's just not that simple. I think we can all agree that we have all been there. Even though we love Jesus with all our hearts, it hasn't always and isn't always going to be easy. There's a story that comes out of Luke 17. They're going to put that up here in a second. But Jesus is telling these stories. And one of them he comes to is the story about the 10 lepers. Now, leprosy in the biblical times was literally the worst thing that you could possibly have. There was nothing worse other than death in biblical times than leprosy. Your skin would turn scaly white. It's attacking from the inside out. You lose your fingers. You lose your toes. You would lose your feet. It would take your nose. It would take your ears. It would take parts of your orbital bone. Your face would literally begin to just disintegrate, and you would die from the inside out. It was so bad to have leprosy, whether it was in Old Testament or New Testament times, you lived in your own colonies. Your family couldn't come and visit you. Your family couldn't come and hug you. Because if they did, they would also be kicked out of the city until they could prove that they were cleansed to the priests. So it was horrible to have leprosy. But Jesus goes into this story in Luke 17, 11 through 19. You guys, look at this with me. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." Guys, let's just say praise God together. Praise God. So here he is, they're shouting, he's saying, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked him, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Not only is this leper healed, but he is a Samaritan. Not only is he as the lowest of the low in the land of Israel, but he also had leprosy, and Jesus has healed him. And another 9 men that were healed, but there was only one. And guys, if you hear one thing today that I'm going to tell you is that when you know God has come through in your life, and you know it was God, it was the only thing it could be was God, make sure that you tell him thank you. Give him thanks. Praise him. Amen. So you know, I was thinking about Lori being pregnant with all 3 of our kids. And, you know, at first when she finds out she's pregnant, you know, there's celebration, there's kisses and hugs, and people are sending cards. Well, you know, this is back before email and all that texting stuff. So we would call and we'd make parties. We'd have to get together. There was no FaceTime, but we would celebrate this thing. But guys, when you know, as the weeks go on in a pregnancy, ladies, you know this. I mean, I just kind of got to sit by and watch this. But Lori's all of a sudden smells start changing. You know, she's hungry for this, but she's not hungry for that anymore. Now she's combining these things together that shouldn't go together. And she's eating that kind of stuff. There's stretching. There's getting bigger. You know, she can't lay on her stomach anymore. There's all these things. But hold it. She felt a little kick in her side. And then what do we do? We celebrate again. Oh, it's the kick. You know, big deal. Next day, oh, I'm miserable. I'm hot. You know, this is horrible. This is not easy. And this whole thing. And guys, here's the thing is, God was always with her. He is always with us, and we were so thankful. And that is the thing. That's the story with us sometimes, is that as we're going through something that God is walking us through, it might not be easy. You might have these times of being uncomfortable and stuff, but God is there. He loves us. And no matter what we're going through, we always have something to be thankful for. When you are walking out your faith, there are phrases that we use to describe what we hope God has for us. Think about this. Purpose. We hope that God has a purpose for our life. How about calling? That even though we might be in the midst of a struggle, that we still would believe and hope that God has a calling on our lives. Or what about a plan? To have a purpose, to have a calling, to have a plan for our lives. We all hope for this. But guys, here's the truth. God's wonderful plan is oftentimes difficult and painful. When we moved out here, I'm going to tell you a little section or story of our story. In 2007 from California, when we decided to follow what God was speaking into my wife's heart, and then he gave me a piece about it, that our entire family, church family, friends, you name it, they thought we were crazy. Why? Because we were moving out to over as far as you could go in the United States away from the San Francisco area to go somewhere where we have no job, no money, no family. We don't have anything except a calling, a promise of a plan that God had for Lori to go back to get her master's, prepare for journalism broadcasting, and get ready for television. And so we go out, and all this money that we made on selling our house in California is now disappearing before our eyes because of the moving expenses, getting Lori into school, getting our kids into school, groceries and paying mortgage payments while we still didn't have jobs. And I remember we're walking on Harris Teeter on Hanbury Drive, and I stop her shopping cart and look at her and I go, "Babe, we have enough money for one more mortgage payment, and then we might have to turn and go back to California." And I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking like, okay, I've just made this statement. There's this reality sitting in. This is not easy. It's not fun anymore. Now we're feeling like, did we make a mistake? Did we miss hearing what? I know she was carrying a lot of this. Did we miss what God had said? Literally that week of making that statement coming out of my mouth, I get hired as an associate pastor at Faith Alive in Deep Creek, in Chesapeake. Now, guys, here's the story that I want to say to you is this right here. It was still a struggle because I wasn't all of a sudden making $300,000 a year. Is everybody following me? And it was still a struggle trying to make ends meet. But guys, God had given us exactly what we needed to be able to stay in Virginia. I think we sometimes think if God's in it, it's just going to be bliss. But that's not how it is. God will give us exactly what we need to fulfill his calling sometimes in our lives. And it's important for us. Guys, you might even say it this way. It's not easy, but it's better. Amen? It's not easy, what God has called me to or what I'm going through, something that maybe you can't control. It's not easy, but because God's in your life, because God is in it, it's better. God makes it better so we can continue the purpose and the calling on our lives. There will be days. There will be chapters of life that are not easy. There will be hard times that are unavoidable. That's the thing about a hard time. You go to bed one night, you wake up the next day, and all of a sudden you find yourself in hard times, and it's unavoidable. There's nothing you could do. There was not one thing you could change to keep it from happening. It was unavoidable. But being thankful during the struggle is also possible, though. Just because my exterior life might be falling apart doesn't mean that my interior life has to do the same. Let me say it to you this way. My car might have been in an accident, but it doesn't mean that my marriage has to be a wreck. I might be struggling to pay my bills this month, but it doesn't mean my faith isn't real. In Matthew 7, Jesus, again, He's telling the story of the wise man and the foolish man. I think the majority of us know this story, but there might be some that don't, but I want to share this with you. Make sure you go read it in Matthew 7. But he begins to talk about how the wise man built his house upon the rock, something that was a solid foundation. And then there's the foolish man who wasn't satisfied with just settling on the rock. He needed to be down by beachfront property. He needed to be near the water. So he built his house on the sand. And what happens in the story is that when the storms came, let's put it in our terms right now, when it stopped being easy, when pressure was applied, his house fell. The foolish man's house just disappears. But the one who built it on the solid foundation of who Christ is, who God is, a foundation that cannot be shaken, his house was still there. You know, guys, here's the thing is that the pressures of life, sometimes we do put it on ourselves. We create the pressure, but it will always be an unending pressure from the world outside in. That's just reality. Guys, let me give you some here. We have these things called collarbones. All of us have them, you know. And I've broke mine. I broke mine in 97. It's an awesome story. Lori loves talking about it. And it happened right when my daughter Skye was born. So for about 6-8 weeks, I couldn't really do nothing. It was actually kind of a good vacation. Anyway, it was, but Lori doesn't like talking about it. There's lots of stories that come out of it. But the collarbone, here's the thing about the collarbone, is that your pectorals, your delts, your traps, the neck muscles that come through here, ligaments, tendons, everything kind of runs through this area, and it's like God created this suspension for us. And you break one of these, next thing you know, you can't breathe, you can't laugh, you don't want to sneeze, you can't sleep, and all this. And here's the thing about the collarbone, as much as it is critical to what happens up here above our waist, is that 25 pounds of pressure is all that the collarbone can handle, or it snaps. 25 pounds of pressure, you guys. And that's pretty significant to think about. I think about, you know, we got these two dogs, Nala and Bear. Bear will tap out somewhere around 100 when he gets up to his full age and stuff. And he's not the biggest dog in the world, but they're incredibly strong. And we have this thing called pay to play. If you play rough with them, you're going to pay. Because when you let them up, you're going to get bit here, or you're going to get bit under the arm. I've got a nice bruise right there on my forearm for everybody to see. It's a pay to play. And so I'll roughhouse with these guys, and I know that when I let them up, they're seeing red, and they're going to nip me somewhere. So I've learned sometimes that if they're that mad, I'll just go ahead and put my arm in their mouth just to try to settle them down. I'll just go ahead and stick it in there, and I'll go, hey, 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 and they'll relieve the pressure. But you know what they both do? They'll take my arm into the very back of their mouth, and they'll just gnaw. And you know, we have these two bones in our arms. You know what they like to feel? They like to feel my two bones move. And I'll go, hey, 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 you know, because it feels like they're about to snap my forearm. But guys, here's the thing, is that when I say, hey, 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 or release, and they release the pressure, when they let me go, everything goes back to being normal. Did you know that there are pressures that we have control over how it started and how it ends? We get to do that. We get to set up, and we get to say enough's enough in that pressure. But then there's those pressures that we just can't turn off. And it feels like we're about to snap. It feels like we're about to go under. It feels like our house is about to come down. And that's when we get to go, Jesus! Like the lepers, Jesus, help us! And that's when we cry out and we allow him to step in. Guys, there are things that I can control and there's things that I can't. I can get in my car and go for a drive, but I can't control everybody else's driving their own cars. I can get on a plane tomorrow and fly to California, but I cannot promise myself, will I land there safe or not? I can't control the weather. I can't control traffic. I can't control the passing of time. We're all getting older. I mean, I can't believe how fast time. I mean, my wife's getting older. I'm joking. She does not like my jokes sometimes. She goes, guys, look at this picture. I'm just kidding. Look, isn't she a pretty voter? Come on. Come on. Let's go, Chesapeake. I'm getting older. My wife just gets younger with every year that passes. Anyway, did you like that joke, babe? I can't control who I'm related to. I can't control what others might say, what they do, what they think, or how they might feel about me. The story in Matthew 7 about the rich man, the wise man, and the foolish man is this. It screams this right here. This is about the foundation you are choosing to build your life upon. And if you've never heard this, if there's by chance you are here this morning and you've never heard this, or you're here for a reason this morning because you need a reminder, I want to say this to every person in here. Jesus works. I don't know what you've tried, what you're trying, what you're doing, but Jesus works. Jesus is the only thing worth building your life upon. He is the solid rock. It's because of him, not you, that when the storm passes, you are still standing, that you will endure and be thankful for what he has brought you through. Lori and I are in an 11-year journey. Some of you will relate to this and even have a longer journey. We are an 11-year journey believing for our oldest son. And I look back at 2011, I look to where we are now, and it's only because of Jesus. But it hasn't always been easy. There have been some incredibly dark times. I remember, I'm just going to be real with you right now, if that's okay. I called a board meeting because I hadn't told some of those that were closest to us in our church out in Suffolk that what was going on. And I called a board meeting, and I'm sitting there with a group of men that I trust, that I opened my heart to. I told them what was going on, that I needed their prayers, I needed them to join me. I told them, I said, I need you to lift my arms up when I can't lift up my arms. And I'm just sometimes weeping before them, sometimes just trying to open my heart as wide as I can. And guys, here's the thing is within 3 to 4 months later, four of my board members completely just stepped down and left the church, judging me, judging our family, some that just didn't know how to handle it, the whole thing. But it was the guys that I thought would be there, they're not. And this is something that we've got to get used to and understand is that sometimes the people that you think will be there for you, they're not going to be. I'm just telling you, they're not. But Jesus never leaves you. He never leaves you. And here's the thought that I want to give you about this is that we call these things walls. When we get hurt, we put up walls. When those guys did that to me, guys, I built a wall. I don't care what you want to call it, Trump wall, thick wall, whatever you want to call it. I was building this wall, and I only had a few people that I allowed in my life at that point when it happened. It was my wife, it was my father, it was my brother, my mom, and one friend. That's it. That was all that was in my circle because that's all who I trusted. And that's not a good place to be. Listen, we can call them other things. We call them giants. We call them mountains. We call them storms. Or how about this, that you're living in a literal hell? I didn't even share this morning. I was in a band called Flipside. We were singing in Placerville. I don't know if you guys remember a band called POD. We were supposed to sing with them. They ended up canceling at the last second, so it was just us. And here are like 300, 400 high school students there to see this concert. And we get up there. Well, the owner comes in. And she talks to us, she says, boys, she goes, I don't know if you know what this place was. It's called the Fishbowl. And I go, we go, no, ma'am. She goes, this used to be a bar. People were killed in here. Marriages were ruined in here and all this. And she goes, and I got saved and I sold this thing. I traded it in for a bar and turned it into a place to where she could bring in music to see people come to Jesus. So it was this big transition thing. So here we are. And she told us, she goes, I haven't seen it happen often, but if you have time at the end, she goes, I want you to make an altar call. And we were like, absolutely, because that's what we do anyway. So we get out there, we sing, we have an amazing time. And at the end, we make an altar call. And 50 high school students come up front. And they're all giving their hearts to Jesus. And there's this one young man crying in the front. And so I went down there and I got with him and I was asking what happened. He goes, this was my last resort. He never accepted Jesus. He just accepted Jesus that night. His parents had just divorced and found out his mom was a lesbian, had decided to become a lesbian. And he was like, I literally thought this was going to be my last night or I was going to take my life. And so I'm sitting here and I'm seeing Jesus come in and seeing what Jesus is going to do. And we pointed him in all these right directions. And I think about him all the time because you never know who's going to come through a door. You never know what is going on in that life. What we do, though, is we make sure that we're pointing them to Jesus. They could be in a living hell, and we point them to Jesus. Here's what I want to finish with Lori and I. The growth that we have experienced, the strength it has brought, Lori and I have learned to lean on God more than I have ever leaned on him in my entire life. In my entire life. That's what's come out of this. God put the right people in our lives that have sown into our pursuit of his promise. Guys, harvest is a major part of this. There are men and women in this church right now that are a part of the fabric that God has done to sow, to bring strength in this time as we journey believing for our son to come back to Christ. And because of this, even though it's not easy, Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank him. I'm so thankful when it's not easy that I can trust and lean on Christ. It's so important that we are talking and thinking on this today. Maybe for some of us, the reason you are here is to be reminded that you can put your trust in God. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, "With all your heart, you must trust the Lord and not your own judgment. Always let him lead you, and he will clear the road for you to follow. Don't ever think that you are wise enough." Church, just because you're wise, it doesn't stop the storms of life from coming. Just because you're pretty doesn't mean you won't ever get sick. Just because you are wealthy doesn't mean the pressures of life stop knocking at your door. And listen to this one. Just because you love Jesus doesn't mean that everybody is going to be your biggest fan. I remember when I came to Jesus, I'm going to tell you the truth. I thought, wow, is this going to be great? This is going to be so easy. I remember thinking this. Look what Jesus has to say about it in John 15, 18 through 19. "If you find the godless world is hating you, remember it got its start hating me. If you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms," remember we're talking about purpose, calling, and plan for our lives, "and no longer on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you." I wish this was the formula, but it's not. Go ahead and put this formula up for them. Your life plus Jesus equals the easy life. I don't want this to be a downer. Listen, I'm telling you straight up, there's so much to be thankful for. Guys, check this out. Look at this right here. Here's the formula. Your life plus Jesus is blessing during the storm. Your life plus Jesus equals thankful even when it's not easy. Or that your life plus Jesus equals trusting more and having a stronger faith. Praise the Lord. Pastor Matt, what does it mean to trust God? Well, King David wrote a psalm thousands and thousands of years ago, and this dude was having a rough time. And look what he writes right here. He says, "O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. But I will trust in you. I will trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing because he is good to me." We find satisfaction that nothing can give you except a relationship with God. That's what we find. There are a lot of people that would trade their best day for our worst day. Did y'all hear what I just said right there? That a lot of people would trade, okay, their best day for our worst day. There's a lot to be thankful for, amen? I want to give you guys three real quick thoughts. The first thought is this right here. When God does come through, make sure you thank him. Okay? He is, and he will, I promise you. I don't care how long it takes. He is going to come through. You'll know it's him, and you need to thank him. Remember in Luke 17, 15 through 16, this is about the 10 lepers. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. Remember, you know it's God. It couldn't have been anything else but God. And when that happens, make sure that you thank him. Can I get an amen? Do you want a God you can explain or a God that you can glorify? Do you want a God that you can explain or do you want a God that you can magnify and that you can tell others about, that they can know the same God? This is what I'm talking about. I can't explain how he did what he did for me, but I can praise his name. Come on, let's say that again. Praise God. That's what I'm talking about. Even in times it's not easy, we have a lot to be thankful for. Here's my second thought. When the struggle is real, prioritize his house. It's so important that when things get real, we run toward his presence, not away from him. That when things have gotten to a level that I can't control, I need to prioritize being in his house. So many people, when times get tough, when life is a struggle, they stop going to church. I don't get it. I can tell you right now, family and friends in my life, that they're going through something and they've just decided to stop going to church. I'm going to give you scripture to support why we should be here together, but it's important that they stop going to the very place where they find community. They stop going to the very place where they can serve. You want to be able to get through a time that's not easy? Get somewhere in the church and serve. Amen? That's where you want to do it. How about this one? They stop going to the very place where they worship, where they pray, actually where they have actual support. They decide to stop going. Hebrews 10:25, look at this. I love this version found in the Message. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on. That we get the chance to be inventive on how we can love each other and encourage each other and help each other out. I know it's hard to get out of bed sometimes. I know it's hard to be spiritual when nothing is going right. But there is a reason why it's so important what we do, what we do. Everything we can find or would need or ever need or ever want is going to be found in God's house. I really believe this. Guys, 4 or 5 times a week, I work out. I'll go to Great Bridge, Y, and I work out. I love arm day, I love chest day, I love shoulders, I love back, I love legs. Most people hate legs because it's the largest muscles in the body, but I love it, and I'll put the time in. But the one thing that I hate doing is core. I don't like stomach, I don't like lower back, but I will do it. Listen to what I'm going to say. Every day that I work out, I do it. I'll put text up. Lori's told me many times, stop putting this up on Facebook. Nobody cares if you hate doing sit-ups, you know, because I'll take a picture or put it up there. Guys, I hate doing it. But guys, I want you to capture what I'm saying. The abs that I do, listen, here's what's interesting about the core is, if this is not right, this is not going to be right. If this is not right, everything above the waist is not going to be right. If we're taking care of this area right here, then everything's going to function better. See, when I'm doing abs on Tuesday that I'm hating doing the lower back, you know why I'm doing it? It's so that I'll reap the benefits from it on Thursday when I've got to do chest. Then on Thursday, I do abs again at the end, and I'm going to reap on Friday the benefit of that when I'm ready to do legs. And you see, going into the house of the Lord is a lot like abs and lower back. Sometimes we don't want to go to the house of the Lord. But see, what's going on is when you come in here and you worship, you pray, you seek the Lord, you receive a good word, what happens is that what you're doing, the work you're putting into on Sunday, you don't know what's coming on Tuesday, but you're going to be ready. When you get into the house of the Lord, even though it's not easy and you're here, you don't know what's coming on Friday, but because you put the work in, you're going to be ready for it. Guys, listen, I hate that stuff, but sometimes it's hard to be there. Sometimes my worship seems to fall short, but because when I'm in his house, his spirit is getting me ready. You don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. You don't know what the doctor's going to say on Friday. But praise the Lord, I have been putting in the work in his house, praying, worshiping, feeding on his word, being in community with others, and spending time with Jesus and allowing his Holy Spirit to take me. The truth is, we never know what a day will bring, good or bad. But because I know who my God is, I know where his house is. I know where his people and my family worship. I might not know what tomorrow will bring, but I have been in his house. I have his presence. I have his calling. I have my family's help and their prayers. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Let's give them a hand. God bless them, man. What an amazing, amazing set. Here's my third and final thought. When life is not always easy, it reminds us we need Jesus. Be thankful it's not always easy. Be thankful. I know that's a hard one to swallow, but be thankful because it reminds you, you still need God. Psalms 23, 1 through 5. If you guys don't mind doing this, would you guys read this out loud with me? Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. Come on, I want to hear you. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now notice, that is an amazing, amazing passage of Scripture. But right smack dab in the middle, it says this right here. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what they're saying there? The psalmist is saying, it's going to happen. We're going to have tough weeks. We might have 11 years, you're still walking through a journey believing for something that seems sometimes like it's never going to happen. But it's, what do I read right there is that no matter what I go through, I will always have enough. He's always going to take care of me. Sometimes it's hard to tell if life is getting any easier or if it's getting any better. But I have found that God is with me, that Jesus walks with me through my weeks of struggle, that he will leave the 99 just to find me. I know that this world is not my home, that the God of the universe sees and knows and loves me, that once I was blind, but now I see. That once I was lost and Jesus came and found me, that I'm not going to have to live in my shame, that my past does not define me. My future will be blessed and promises fulfilled, that I'm here to walk out my calling. Church, let me say this, I am not alone. You are not alone. Every evil in hell will not be able to stop you. I need Jesus today, and I will need him tomorrow. As it says, and this is what we didn't read in Psalms 23, verse 6, it says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell where? Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise, you guys. Wow. We all have a reason to be thankful. Even though it is not always easy, we have a reason to be thankful. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. If there's anything that you hear today from my lips, is that I thank you for who you are in my life. Father, I just pray that as we have sat here and we've allowed your presence, we've worshiped your Lord, we have given, we have shared love to one another, that Lord, we have received your word. I'm praying that in this time that the Holy Spirit has had his way. He's, for some of us, maybe he's had to chip away at some walls. Maybe he's had to open some windows again just to let some fresh air into the lives. But the Holy Spirit, you've been having your way. And Father, I'm just asking you that no matter what we have brought into this place, that we all understand that you are big enough to take care of every need that is represented here today. And we love you. And Father, if we don't say anything else today, we say thank you. We say praise God. And so Father, I just ask you just to bless us as we wrap up this message today in your precious name. So guys, this is what we're gonna do. I did this morning. I just feel like that the Lord has said this. I'm begging you, please do not walk out of here. If you have come in here today and you're in the middle of a struggle, it's not easy. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if this is financial, if it's part of your, if it's your body, if it's in your marriage, if it's in relationships, if it's at your job. I don't know what it is. But if you're here in life, it's not easy. I'm just telling you that the Holy Spirit is saying, don't leave here. Don't walk out of here until you've had some time with him. I'm going to open up this area. The worship team is going to sing an amazing song for us just to get in his presence. And I want to give you the opportunity to come down here, and we're going to pray with you. But we're going to believe that even though it's not easy, the Lord is going to see you to the other side, and then vision begins able to take place. Amen. So.